It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. We are back at it. Julie Weisenhorn back in studio. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, too. I haven't seen you since the fair.
State fair time. Yes.
I ate a lot that day.
Did you really?
Man.
Yeah. That's
I was super
That's
full.
What you do I there.
Home, I know.
Yeah.
I
and then you try to walk it off.
Cheese curds and.
But that's you know, the fair, for those that don't know what we're talking about, that's a pretty big deal for you people in horticulture, isn't
it? It's huge, yeah. I mean, it stems from, there's so much agriculture around it and you know, livestock. And, I mean, that's kind of the basis of the fair. There's all sorts of other great things, too. But, yeah, we spend a lot of time. We spend most of the year planning for the fair and some amount.
Yeah. And you and I have talked, in fact, this morning is a good example about we always like to talk about the Arboretum.
Yeah.
And every so often we talk about
a great place.
The music you guys play.
Oh, yeah.
The Abiders, and you're going to be there.
Hey, we're going to be there tonight. It is the Farm at the Arb Field Fest. This is the dedication of the brand new refurbished Red Barn. It's across from the Bee Center out on 82nd Street. It is going to be amazing. They have been working on this, and thank you to all the people who, you know, provided funding and have worked so hard on this. It's just going to be great, and it's going to be celebrating the refurbished Red Barn, and it's iconic at the Arboretum. It's been there forever, and it's just beautiful. And we'll be playing as part of the music there from 5 till 7. So it's family friendly.
5 to 7 today.
Yeah, family friendly. Pray for no rain, or at least way late.
I think the weather's looks pretty good so far.
I think we're crossing our fingers.
But a lot of folks are expected there.
Oh, yeah. 1,000 people, I think, will be there. Wow. Yeah. That's what they're kind of anticipating.
And anyway, for those that don't know, and you really, if you go there once, you'll be back there again.
Yeah, definitely be back.
How do we get to the Arboretum?
The Arboretum is out west of the Metro on Highway 5 and 41, just west of that intersection. And in this case, you're going to want to enter in. You can either go through the Arboretum and drive the beautiful 3-mile drive, or you can go right out to 82nd Street, which is the southern perimeter, just down 41, southern perimeter of the Arboretum.
We have already texters. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, you want to call it in or text it in. Same number applies, 651-989-9226. Ask Julie a question. Either call it in or send a text like some folks are already doing. 651-989-9226. I want to talk about the weather, but before we do that, already texters are sending questions.
Awesome.
It says, Danny, could you ask Julie how to find a certified arborist, and when is it okay to trim oak trees?
Oh, good question. So we have a good publication on our extension website called How to Hire a Tree Professional. It's under the Trees and Shrubs section. So you can go to extension.umn.edu, and go to Yard and Garden, or you can just Google How to Hire a Tree Professional, and it'll pop right up. And it gives you really good questions to ask, and also how to find a certified arborist. We have a terrific association here, a society called the International Society of Arboriculture, and it'll route you to their website. You put in your zip code and come up with all sorts of people in your area that are certified arborists.
We have so many good ones here.
We have terrific tree people in Minnesota. It's really an important part of our industry. The other question is about when to prune the oak trees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the big concern with oaks is oak wilt, which is a fungal disease that's transferred through grafted roots underground and also through the oak sap beetle, which vectors the fungal spores from tree to tree. The timing, this is a good time. This is a low-risk time for pruning, September and October. But the safest time is actually November, December, January, February, and March.
Mm-hmm.
April through July, do not prune your oaks, because that is when the risk is the highest for contracting oak wilt.
Again, another thing you and I were talking about off the air is this tremendous amount of moisture we've had.
Yeah.
This rain is crazy.
I know. I couldn't believe it. We've had Mark Seely does a great blog every Friday. Mark Seely is our University of Minnesota climatologist. He is a professor emeritus at the U, and he produces a blog every Friday called Weather Talk. And on that, he indicated that just in the past week, there are communities that have had 3 inches of rain, four inches of rain.
True.
We have broken records. A lot of communities are 12 to 16 inches above normal. And he said, fortunately, it looks like the last part of the month is going to be a little bit drier than usual. So we might actually get a little bit of chance to do some yard work and get out there and get our yards ready for winter. So,
point.
But it's been really wet.
But you mentioned what I find interesting is that if we have too much rain, what can that do to nitrogen?
Well, that's a great point, because nitrogen is a mobile nutrient. It leaches through our soil. And when you have a lot of water, you can imagine you're washing that nitrogen through that soil faster. And so you have to pay attention to your plants. And if they start to have a chlorotic appearance, meaning that the tissue between the veins is yellowing, but the veins remain green, it could be a loss of nitrogen. And so you wanted to then, you know, give it a little bit of shot and fertilizer at that point. Now, right now, it's a little tricky because we're going into fall and some plants are actually turning yellow. But that chlorosis is pretty evident when you start to see it, particularly on some of the newer leaves that you'll see.
Text number is the same as the phone number. You can call in your question for Julie at 651-989-9226, or the same number, as I said, applies to the text number. All right. Here's the text, Julie. Renewal of pruning of spirea. Should I cut them down this fall or wait until spring? We usually get that about once a year.
Day. And there's two kinds of spirea. So there's a spring blooming spirea, one that blooms right away in the spring. It blooms on the wood that developed last year, the previous year. We call it the old wood. And in that case, if you have a spring blooming spirea, you want to cut that down after it's done blooming. Just think of it like lilacs. It's the same thing. The buds are set in the summer after the bloom time, and then they bloom in the spring. That's when you want to do your renewal pruning. If they're summer blooming, that means that they're going to bloom on new wood that develops early in the spring, comes up and blooms in the summer. And at that point, you could do some renewal pruning or early in the spring then, or now. You could do it now, I guess.
Okay. I see. You're going to have to tell me what this is. I've heard of Joe Pieweed taking over our backyard planting. What can be done? What is that?
Joe Pieweed is a native plant. There are also some cultivars of the native out there. It's a great bee plant. It has huge kind of big round flower heads. They're usually kind of a lavendery color or a kind of reddish purple color. And it is a great plant, but it does spread quite a bit. It's not, I wouldn't call it aggressive. Some people might, but the best thing to do is to actually in the spring is before, as it's just starting to come up, is to dig out the plants you do not want, give them away, put them in some other part of your yard or compost them.
Another one that just came in following that the Joe Pieweed leaves are curled up with edged with black.
That could be from all the excessive rain.
Yeah, it's a
plant that tolerates wet conditions. We use it in rain gardens a lot and low-lying areas. You'll see it along lakes and rivers. But sometimes it could be that there's some compacted soil and it's just kind of sitting in there. So it could be just a fungal issue on the leaves, and that is evident from the rain we've had.
Let's go to the phone, 651-989-9226. Mark is calling from West St. Paul. Good morning, Mark. What's your question?
Good morning. It's regarding my lawn. I believe I have patch disease.
Okay.
How do you get rid of that? I've got white spots intermittently in the front lawn.
We have on our site, you could visit our turf site and find out more about turf diseases. Patch disease, I believe, is a fungal disease as well, and is caused by, could be compacted soils. It could also be really dense growth. We've had so much rain, and then the moisture level too. So take a look at that website, though, and that will give you any kind of cultural things that you should change on your lawn care, or also if there's anything to treat it with. I doubt it at this point. Your grass should be pretty actively growing, and you may just be mowing it off at that point.
Okay. Yes, actively growing.
Actively growing.
That's the operative phrase.
This is the time of year our lawns grow. This is a great time of year to do a lot of lawn work.
The fertilizing and all that.
Yeah, fertilizing.
Aeration.
Weed control, all of that. This is a great time.
Julie, hang on. We need to take a quick break here. If you want to call in your lawn or garden question, do so, 651-989-9226, or send Julie a text. Same number applies. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Danny, along with Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota, helping us out, helping you out this morning, both by phone and by text. And as you can see, Julie, we have both callers
yes,
and texters.
Yes, that's awesome.
Again, the same number. If you're new to the show, the phone number is the same as the text number, 651-989-9226. Let's see. Texter says, I have a small, beautiful patch of grass surrounded by not-so-nice lawn. Where can I send a plug of that grass for analysis?
Oh, okay. So we have a plant disease clinic on campus at the St. Paul campus. And you can find that on our website, too, under extension.umn.edu. Or just Google Plant Disease Clinic at the University of Minnesota, and you will get to their website. They have all the instructions that you need to send in a sample.
All right. Back to the phones we go. Kevin is calling from Waseca, I believe. Kevin, you're on with Julie.
Yes. Very good morning to you.
Morning.
My question deals with lawn. There's a few areas where we had construction. It kind of killed the grass or whatever. In place of that, what I call is foxtail or whatever,
sure.
Or coarse grass, has come and basically taken over the area. During the summer, it's not quite as noticeable. It grows rapidly. It's a coarse grass again. But now this time of year when you mow it, it's a brown area, discolored. I'm wondering, is this something I have to learn to live with, or is this something that can be done to get good grass quality back in there again?
Sure. Are you up for doing a renovation of that area?
Yes, there was renovation around it, and that kind of killed off the good grass.
Okay. But doing a renovation of that lawn area?
I'm not doing it, no.
Okay. But you're up for doing that. So in that case, one of the situations is when construction happens on lawns, that soil becomes very compacted from the weight of equipment and foot traffic, and it oftentimes will kill the plants that were there. So that's why you're seeing all the weeds growing up, that particular weed. In this case, what I'd recommend, and this is a good time of year to do it, is rent an aerator and aerate that area. In fact, you could aerate your whole lawn while you're doing it, because chances are you maybe haven't done that for a while. And rent that aerator and then top seed or top dress, so a mixture of soil and seed, with a good quality grass seed that's suitable for the site. So I would take it, this is probably in full sun or nearly full sun. Mm-hmm. And so choose a good quality seed. You want to really... Don't buy the cheap stuff. Buy good seed and go ahead and overseed it. And then you may want to do another seeding in November that is called dormant seeding. And that is where you put down the same grass seed, but it's after the ground has frozen. So in other words, it's kind of going to be dormant there until spring. And that should start your lawn off really healthy in the spring. Then do your fertilization and watering as this grass starts to come up. And really try to push a healthy lawn to outcompete that particular weed. You may have to do some spot treating of those areas, or dig up if you see that coarse grass coming back up. So you may dig it up. It might be quack grass too. It's hard to say what it is without looking at it, but that's what you want to do, is you want to encourage a healthy lawn so that you're not having to deal with these weeds taking over. But aeration is going to be a good thing to do right now.
Very good. All right, thank you. Richard, Minneapolis, is calling in with a question for Julie. What is your question, Richard?
Yeah, I have a Mugo pine. It's had for probably 40 years and must be 7 feet spread and about 4 feet tall. And this always been beautiful, but this year it's got an awful lot of brown needles.
Okay.
Almost looks like scaring me.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that's a big Mugo pine. A lot of brown needles could be due to, we've had so much rain, I can't say drought, unless you've been in a droughty area. I know up north it's been quite dry. But this case, I'd probably say you could send a photo in to ask an expert. That's on our extension site, and we can maybe take a look at that. If it's if you think that the needles, you think it might be a disease or something, you can send it to the Plant Disease Clinic, a sample into that, and you can find them on our website. Or you could call in an arborist that we mentioned a little bit earlier to take a look at that tree. That's a pretty prominent evergreen, it sounds like, in your landscape. And when you have an issue with one of those prominent trees or shrubs, calling in an arborist is not a bad idea at all. And we have a lot of really good arborists. So we have a publication on our site, How to Hire a Tree Professional. And that might be a good idea for something that big.
All right. Somebody wants to know, is it better to bag the leaves when they fall or mulch them?
Well,
it depends
how many leaves you have. Yeah. If you have a mulching mower, that's a great thing. You can just keep mowing over the leaves and breaking them down into those small pieces. And you can leave a lot of those on your lawn. Now, if you have huge numbers of leaves, if you've got a lot of maple trees and you're just buried in leaves, then you might have to actually compost some of those leaves. You can bag them and bring them to a local compost site. That's what I do. You can also mulch some of them up, mow them over with your lawnmower and leave them on the lawn. Or if you have a bagger on your lawnmower, you can also collect those leaves that you mow up and you can use them as a mulch on your garden. That's what I also do on my garden too. That saves you buying wood mulch and also provides a nice overwintering habitat for some of our queen bees that are looking for a place.
Mm. But if you have 3 feet of leaves in the...
Yeah, you might want to do a mixture of all of those, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you could bag some and bring them to a compost site, or if you have organic yard waste pickup from your garbage person, you can
recycle
do that too.
You
may have to do a combo of some of those things.
All right. Hang on, Julie. We have another half hour of the show to go. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, call it in or text it in to Julie at 651-989-9226. That number applies to both the calls and your text messages. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks to good folks like Julie Weisenhorner from the University of Minnesota.
Go Gophers! Woo-hoo.
Yes. And again, if you're just joining us, you guys are going to be appearing at one of our very favorite places,
yes,
the Arboretum.
Farm at the Arb Field Fest. The dedication of the new Red Barn Farm is today. They're dedicating it at 10 o'clock, and it goes till 7 o'clock, and our band is playing 5 to 7.
Fantastic. 5 to 7, late this afternoon.
Loads of fun.
Texter wants to know, before we get back to the phones, is it too wet to aerate my lawn?
Well, that's going to be – I'm going to leave that up to the lawn professionals to determine how wet it is. It depends on your – you know, how well your lawn is draining and the kind of soil, and chances are probably have clay soil around here. But, yeah, they're going to – make that determination.
Yeah.
And they're also getting backed up now. So,
I should say.
So you might have to put it off. But this is a good time of year to do that. It lessens the compaction of soil, allows you to overseed and get ready for next year having a great lawn.
Let us go back to the phones, Julie. Troy's calling in from Rochester. Troy, you're on with Julie.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Morning.
Good morning. So my question is, in terms of treating dandelions, I know most people treat them in the spring. I fertilized my lawn a lot this summer, and with the rain and the fertilizer, the lawn has done well, but so have the dandelions.
Sure.
Haven't been able to spot treat and kill them. Can I still treat the dandelions this time of year?
Yeah, actually, this is a good time of year to do it. So dandelions are a perennial weed, meaning that they come back every year, and they have a long taproot, and So treating at this time of year, the plant is photosynthesizing and putting a lot of nutrients into that big taproot for next year. So this is a time that the plants at these perennial weeds will actually be translocating any kind of chemical down through its leaves, down into the taproot, which will kill the whole plant instead of just the top of the plant.
Okay.
So yes, this is a time to do that with broadleaf weeds.
But some people... I'm looking at the other side of the coin, like dandelions.
Yes, some people like them. Yeah.
What, for the bees?
They're an early emerger in the spring, and they flower early, and so they're a good pollen and nectar source for those bees that are emerging early. So it's a great plant for that. In fact, our forefathers and mothers brought it over from Europe, intending to have it. It's edible. The leaves are edible, if it's, of course, not treated with anything. And people make dandelion wine and all sorts of things with it. So some people like those broadleaf weeds. clover and dandelion, and they choose to keep those in their lawns. I would just say that if you have neighbors who don't like those weeds, it's just be sure to mow off the dandelion flowers as soon as they're spent.
Makes sense.
And just so that they don't spread into their yards. They don't have any kind of runners, those dandelions. They're just a taproot, so they're not going to spread except by seed. Mm-hmm. So if you can keep those seed heads under control, you'll keep your neighbors happy.
Seems like in my yard, those dandelion seeds, they hide under a little piece of gravel or stone.
They're very small. There's a lot of them.
Texter wants to know, Julie, what's the difference between the autumn blaze and autumn flame maple? I guess the question is, does one of them actually have colorful leaves during the summer?
Not that I know of. Usually when we see a maple that is turning colors in the summer, it's because it's due to stress. So maples are plants that like a cool root area. They like organic soil. They like a little acidity in their soil. So when you have a maple that's planted, say, on the side of a street, or it's planted in the middle of a yard, it can oftentimes become stressed. And that is when we see plants that are starting to turn, say, in July. That is not normal, and that indicates that there's stress on that plant. So I'm not familiar with both of those cultivars, but I don't believe either one has significant color change in the summer as a typical thing.
No, you wanted to address a question about the pine trees. Many Texas is dropping the needles, turning yellow. What's going on, they say?
So the yellowing is a little disconcerting, but pine trees and conifers in general do drop their needles. I mean, they drop needles like our deciduous trees drop leaves. So there is a certain amount of needle loss every year. When it becomes whole branches that turn brown or whole branches that turn yellow, then that might be a kind of indicative of either damage to that branch or some other problem with that plant. If it's significant on the tree and covers a lot of it, like our former caller about the Mugo pine, that's a good time to get a professional in there to take a look at your trees and to assess their health, because it could be something going on with an insect or disease or an abiotic situation. So abiotic means something around it, whether, you know, it's the weather or it's been some construction that's damaged the root area, something like that.
Okay. Texter wants to know, is it better to divide hostas in the fall or spring?
I prefer to divide them in the spring because they're smaller. Right now they're big and they've still got their leaves and they're looking really great. So I would always recommend doing it in the spring. The only time there's an exception is if you're going to be doing some kind of renovation in your yard, and you may lose the plants if you don't move them. So that's one exception there. But most of the time it's a lot easier to do them in the spring, and then they have the whole summer to kind of recover.
Let's see. Texter from Plymouth says, what should I do with my new rhubarb plants this fall? They still have stalks on them.
Just leave them. Those stalks will die back. And next spring, you can go ahead and just clean up those dead leaves and stalks, and they'll reemerge.
Why do my ostrich ferns turn brown this time of the year? Is this a problem or is a normal part of their life cycle?
Normal part of their life cycle. Yep.
Okay.
They turn kind of a yellow and then to brown. Ostrich ferns, the big green fronds of the ostrich ferns are the sterile fronds. They're the more showy stuff. And then you'll see that some of those plants will have these dark brown, stick straight, kind of woody fronds in the middle. Those are the fertile fronds. Those are the fronds that actually have the spores on them. And you leave those standing, and that allows those spores to go elsewhere.
What's a black swallowwort?
Oh, black swallowwort is an invasive plant in Minnesota.
How to get rid of it, Texter wants to know.
Yeah, that is a good question. And that is a case when we have invasive species like this that can literally choke out other better plants. That is when you actually need to do some serious thinking on removing that plant and or treating that plant with a chemical to get rid of it. So you need to find the source of that plant, you know, trace that vine back and find the source of it, and then you need to kill that plant. That's a requirement. We do not want black swallowwort taking over our gardens and yards.
Okay, this question might be one to send to the Use website. What shrub can I plant behind a garage in almost full shade that gets around 4 to 5 feet tall and wide? Also, is it too? Well, we already talked about hostas, but what can there are the site on the website you can find like what
right. Right. So we have a good plant database under our lawns and landscaping section called Plant Elements of Design. And you can plug in exactly the information that you put on that text message and go ahead and enter it into the database. and you'll come up with whatever shrubs that are in that database. There's about 2,800 different plants in there,
wow.
Everything from trees to shrubs to perennials and annuals.
Speaking of chlorosis, which we were a bit ago, my 10 maple tree has the, I don't know, it's 10 foot maybe, 10 foot? I don't know. My 10 maple tree has the lightening of the leaves. It seems to happen late August, last couple of years. It starts at the top and works its way to a couple of areas in the outer leaves.
A lightening of the leaves. Hmm. That I do not know. That, again, I'd call an arborist for that one. That's a really good question, and that is not something that I can weigh in on at this point. So I would go ahead and call in an arborist to take a look at that tree. Mature trees are really important to our landscapes, not just from their beauty and their shade, the habitat for birds and other wildlife, but also from a property value standpoint. So, you know, it's well worth it to call that arborist in, and we have some talented people here in Minnesota.
For sure we do. Back to the phones, Julie. Ken is calling from Blaine with a question. Go ahead, Ken.
Good morning. I have some sumac that has kind of invaded my perennial garden, and
okay.
I kind of like to dig them up and transplant them someplace else. Is that something that can be done?
Sure. It's going to take a little bit of elbow grease to do it, but yeah, you can dig up sumac. Now, sumac will have probably runners underneath the soil, I believe, that lead from one plant to another. That's how it gets its kind of clonal size, where it spreads out and gets bigger and bigger in mass. And so you'll want to cut those roots as you come across them, cut them out, and then put that plant, that smaller plant or separate plant, in wherever you want it to be.
Here's a text about a lawn question, Julie. Is it too late to seed a lawn is the first question. And if not, is there a preferred northern climate variety?
I don't know the varieties. I wish John was here for
yeah.
that one. But this is a good time to seed your lawn. Yeah, because
we do have available great grass seed around here.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. We have great grass seed. But this is a good time to do the seeding. You can do aeration if you haven't done that, where you rent a core aerator, and that opens up the lawn and lessens the compaction and then allows that seed to get into those spaces and have good seed-to-soil contact.
Okay. Back to the phones. Julie, Paul is calling in from St. Paul, I believe. Paul, you're on with Julie.
How are you doing today?
Good, thanks.
My question is, have a good 20-foot row of lilac bushes, and there's like a lime green vine all over it.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
I'm going to guess it's wild cucumber, because I've seen a lot of it, and it's very bright, light green, and it's almost white parts of it. It seems kind of light colored on edges. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, it does. I've seen it all over the place. So
right.
Is it invasive, or?
It's actually a native vine to Minnesota, so it's not considered invasive, just aggressive. It's also an annual vine, which means it's really easy to pull down and rip out of the ground. So you don't have to worry about killing the actual plant, but just pull it down off your plants, and hopefully it hasn't gone to seed. It produces these kind of little spiny seed capsules. Once those open up, then you're going to have that vine to deal with in your area for, you know, the next year. But if you can get to it before those seed capsules open up, like I'd go out today and I'd pull that stuff down right now. You can just throw it in a pile to break down.
All right. Tell you what we need to do is take a quick break. We have more show to come. Julie Weisenhorn will be back with your questions either by phone or by text. And again, the same number applies if you want to call it in or text it in. 651-989-9226. 53 degrees here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO. Denny and Julie.
Yeah.
Here in the studio.
Dynamic
answering your
duo.
Questions.
Pow, know. Bam.
Here we go. Yeah. Batman.
Batman Robin.
A lot of text messages. We always tend to run out of time before we get to answer all of them.
A lot of good ones.
There's
in
so
here.
Many. What about blemishes on tomatoes? Turn black after picking them. They turn fast,
sure.
Have to throw some away. What's the story there?
So something has happened to that tomato. It could be something like hail damage. It could be that was damaged somehow. It got dropped or banged against something and bruised it. It could also be a bacterial spot issue, or a fungal issue. We have a on our extension site, we have a really cool tool called What's Wrong with My Plant. And under that, you can look up whatever kind of plant you have. So in this case, tomato. And then you can go to the part of the plant that's the issue, in this case, the fruit. And then you can look for a description of what you're seeing. So black spot on fruit would be what I would look up, or whatever's closest to that. And that will give you, you know, the most common things that we see in Minnesota, and then a link to a publication about what to do about it. In some cases, after you've picked it like this, there's nothing to do about it. And in some cases, it could be that that fruit was damaged when it was on the vine, or it is susceptible to a type of fungal or bacterial issue, some kind of pathogen. So choosing disease-resistant fruit in the spring when you go to choose your tomatoes is a good idea. And then being sure that you're planting those plants and protecting them, doing all the right things you can. But, you know, you can do all the right things and things still happen to your plants. So in this case, I would just eat those tomatoes as fast as you can, cut out that damaged area, and, you know, make some good chili with them, too.
Or some marinara sauce.
Or some marinara sauce, or you could freeze them, whatever it is.
The leaves, this may be another suggestion for an arborist, Julie. The leaves of my 40-year-old linden tree are fully spotted and dry-looking. Is the tree dying?
Yeah, again, a major tree in your yard requires some major help, and so that would be a good opportunity to call in an arborist. And just as a reminder, on our extension site, under our trees and shrubs, we have a part on how to hire a tree professional. A web page, and you can read about that. It's got good questions. It's got links to where you can find somebody in your area. Great publication for people with tree questions today.
Back to the phones. Doug is calling in from Prior Lake, I believe. Doug, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning.
Some time ago, we had our front of our house re-landscaped, and we wanted a tree maybe 10 or 12 feet tall by 5 or 6 feet wide, and the man planted the tree, and it got to be about 30 feet tall. And so we had that taken down, and I'm looking for information on what kind of a tree that we could plant there. And it's right in the center of the front of our house, and some kind of an evergreen tree that would go 10 or 12 feet tall and maybe 6 feet wide or something like that.
Okay, so if you want an evergreen tree, then you may actually be looking at more of an evergreen shrub, because I'm having a hard time thinking of an evergreen tree that gets to be only about 10 or 12 feet tall. So you might want to look for one of our arborvitaes that is a smaller shrub type that only gets to be about 10 feet tall. You can also look at a Mugo pine, one of the smaller dwarf varieties or smaller varieties. Bear in mind that evergreens are slow to grow. They take longer to grow than some of our deciduous plants. I would also, if you have the room, I would recommend doing a combination of plants, too. You might want to do, a serviceberry tree. That's a smaller tree and beautiful tree. Blooms in the spring, has fruit that's edible, and combine it with maybe a couple other plants with it that would give you a little bit more interest, but still give you that kind of screening or, kind of a good view from your house, whatever it is that your main objective is, that will be more interesting than just a single tree standing by itself.
Okay.
You can look on our database, too, that I mentioned earlier, the Plant Elements of Design, and look under Plant Lawns and Landscaping, and you'll find the link to that on our webpage.
But give that webpage again.
Sure.
Website.
It's extension.umn.edu/yard-and-garden.
All right.
I know. I would just Google
it's pretty easy
yard and garden U of M. That's the easiest way to go.
Texter says this, should I cut my hardy hibiscus down to the ground or leave it until spring? It's about 10 years old, very large.
I think with that, I think you leave it and you cut it down in this. You can cut it down after the leaves all drop off. Then I think you can cut it down at that point.
Okay. So many text messages.
I know.
Within the last 10 days, my lawn has been invaded by moles. What can I do to get rid of them?
Oh boy.
Well, I think we know.
Yeah, moles have to be trapped. And I think if you talk to any of our turf guys, that's what they would say. For the really conclusive elimination of moles, trap them.
What if somebody, again, maybe this is for the website too, they want to find out about the hardiest variety of a maple tree, for example. I mean, can they find more information about that?
Yeah, you can find good choices on our plant selection database. You can also talk with your local garden center. I always encourage people to form a relationship with their local garden center. Get to know the people who work there. Bring them your questions. They are up and knowledgeable about the latest and greatest varieties that have come out and the cultivars that might work for your location. So our local garden centers have talented people there. They do a great job, and they're in the know about local plants, things that grow well in our area. That's, you know, whatever area of the state you're in, because it's different up north and down south than it is in central Minnesota. So get to know your local folks and look for locally grown trees and shrubs. Support our industry, support our tree farmers. And then also you're getting plants that have started their life in this area and they've become very accustomed to the changing climate and the weather and the temperatures and the snow. They have good provenance, it's called.
All right. Let's get a phone call from Darla in Plymouth. Darla, you're on with Julie here on CCO.
Hello. Hi. Thanks.
Good morning.
I have two different flowering trees in my front yard, and they both have white flowers. And they both are too large, and one of them was next to a flowering crabapple tree, and I think it picked up the scab from the tree that was next to it in the neighbor's yard. So I'm wondering about pruning both of them back. They're getting so large, when I could do that. And also the one that has a scab from the flowering apple tree next door, what to do about each of those.
Okay, so it's hard to give you advice on pruning without knowing what the plants are. There's lots of plants that bloom with white flowers. Right now, hydrangeas are very prolific in blooming, but a lot of those are starting to turn to a pinkish color even. So I can't really tell you about the pruning without knowing what they are. And as far as the tree that you think, your crabapple that you think got scab from the neighboring tree, that's entirely possible. But I'll tell you what, we've had such a wet year. And that excessive moisture and humidity increases the susceptibility. Even plants that are resistant to scab can get a little bit of scab in a year like this. So I wouldn't cut the tree down. I would wait. I would consult an arborist about whether you can treat the tree for scab. That's always a possibility, but there's a timing to that. So it might be something that I would call in a professional for. The best thing to do about the other two plants that you want to prune is to get them identified. You can bring in a branch to your local garden center and ask them to ID it, or you can take pictures of it and you can put it on Ask an Expert, which is on our extension site under Ask a Master Gardener. And there's a tool there that you can load up to 3 photos on there and then put your questions on.
Yes, because for those folks that we didn't get to answer the text messages, you can do that.
Yeah,
too.
And we've got a lot of talented master gardeners. I'm on that. So we're helping people all the time with plant ID.
If you're looking for something fun to do tonight.
Farm Fest, or not Farm Fest, but Farm at the Arb Field Fest.
At the Arboretum.
At the Arboretum. And our band is playing 5 to 7. But there's a lot of other great stuff going on the whole day long. Just at the end.
And what is it called again? The
Farm at the Arb Field Fest.
Farm at the Arb.
And you can find it on the Arboretum site at arboretum.umn.edu.
You're going to love it there. And let's keep our fingers crossed about the weather.
Yeah, no rain.
Julie, good to see you again. Yep. Have fun tonight.
Thanks. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Good deal. Julie Wisenhorn from the University of Minnesota.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Ryder remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.